So we've been on this seeds journey. This is week four, I believe, week four of our teaching and preaching on this seeds journey. And we've been talking ultimately the overarching idea. The big idea is that God wants us to grow. He wants us to grow. And we've learned that we will grow if we are willing to work with God in our growth. I think that's probably been a light bulb for many of us because, you know, the thing I asked you week one, are you waiting on God or is God waiting on you? You know, it's probably a combination of both, but this idea that, you know, we're just going to wake up and just whatever happens is going to happen and whatever comes is going to come and whatever falls is going to, you know, all of that. No, I'm intentional. I'm living on purpose, and I want to see God do something. He wants me to grow, but he wants to partner with me in that growth. So we understand we can flourish in life. We can be fruitful in life. We can have all that we hope and all that we dream of if we realize the power and the potential and the processes that are involved in a seed. And so today I want to go just a bit more practical into the law of the harvest. And I've got a lot of notes. I've got a lot of material that I need to get through. I don't usually like to be a little out of my norm to be this noted in my teaching, but there are several points that I need to hit for the small groups that we're unpacking this week. But I want to get into the practical aspects of the law of the harvest, because that's why we're here. We're planting something and believing that we're going to get a harvest. That's the reason we're doing this. That's the reason that we are faithful and we are obedient and we are doing all that the Lord has asked us to do. We want to be in the place where our lives have momentum, and we're not living from struggle to struggle per se. We're not just having a good day over here, and then about 6 weeks later we have another half a good day, and then, you know, somewhere just all the good is so disjointed and so spread out. But we're trying to string good days together and the harvest and seeing all of that. So we build some momentum in our lives, and we begin to see that what we've worked for starts to succeed, and before long our lives are bearing fruit. And that's what the law says. The law says that if you plant, you're going to see a harvest. The law is the law, even if you do not believe the Bible. The law is the law, even if you don't acknowledge God in all of your ways. If you will follow the law of his word, your life is going to be blessed. I've told this before, but I remember my brother getting in a mess, his life and some of the decisions, and he got his finances in a mess, and he was working hard, and he was making good money per hour and bringing home a good paycheck. But he asked my mom, single mom for many years, raising three kids. And so my brother had come back home, and he said, I need you to help me get my finances together. And so she laid the ground rules down. You're going to bring the check, and I'm going to manage it, and I'll give you some spending money out of it. And, you know, it was real budgeting, you know, that serious kind of budgeting. And I remember hearing my mom say, didn't even tell him, but if he's going to make me the manager of his finances, I'm going to pay his tithe. He didn't ask her to pay his tithe. He wasn't saying, now listen, I want you to manage, but I want to make sure you pay my tithe. He wasn't a tither. He wasn't living that kind of life. But she said, if you're going to make me the manager, I only know one way to do this. If you're going to make me the boss, I only know one way to do this. And so she started managing his money, and she started paying his tithe, and she wasn't even telling him. But it wasn't very long. He's saying, man, this is crazy, but look how much money I've got in savings. And for the first time in my life, these bills are paid and I'm not behind. And what in the world's going on? And she said, well, let me tell you a secret. I started putting the law on you. I started applying the principles of God's word in your life. You say, that's crazy. He's not even a believer. I know, but it's a law. It's a law. It's a law that if you do what God says, you're going to get what God says also. Look at how Paul puts this, Galatians 6 and 7. He said, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. That's why it works. It's a law. You reap what you sow. That is a fact. So in light of that fact, we shouldn't judge each day by what we reap, but rather we should judge each day based on what we sow. Ooh, I'm already preaching. What did I sow today is the question. When I lay my head on the pillow at night, this was a good day. Wow, I'm tired. Man, I got to everything on my list today, or I only got to half the list and I've got more to do tomorrow. But when I lay my head on the pillow and just exhausted, oh Lord, what did I sow today? What did I plant? What did I give God to work with today? What did I offer him that he can use to make the difference in my life? Did I give today a chance by sowing? A lot of us are looking at this the opposite. We're saying, what did I reap today? Let me check my accounts. Let me check my email. Let me run to what have I reaped today? Listen, if you focus on the sowing, you won't ever have to worry about the reaping. If you focus on the sowing, you will live in perpetual, constant state of harvest, because those seeds planted at various stages and ages and along the way, they're constantly going to be yielding harvest in your life. Why? Because you don't have to be deceived. God is not going to be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. And I got to be a good pastor and I got to tell you the truth, but if you don't like what you're reaping, then of course you got to change what you're sowing. If you don't like the harvest that you're getting, because that is the law of the harvest, we have to work within God's law, because that is how God builds things. Whether it's our lives, our relationships, our families, our money, I'm back to the question, what did I sow today? So we've been in these seeds parables, and I want to go to the book of Mark today. We've been in Matthew the last couple of weeks, and we're going to move into the gospel according to Mark. And just interestingly, I want you to know, Mark was not one of the original 12. Mark likely didn't even know Jesus. This is really the gospel according to Peter. It's later, years later, that Peter is dictating to Mark, who is a young scribe, scholar. He's dictating, let me tell you this story. Let me tell you what I experienced. Peter was an eyewitness and lived and walked with Jesus as one of the 12. And of course, his life is renowned for the highs and the lows. But Mark was not one of the 12. He's writing this on behalf of Peter, and it's powerful. Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 26. He also said, speaking of Jesus, "This is what the kingdom of God is like." This is Jesus speaking. "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground, night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come." I know you heard the reading and maybe you found that in your Bible or you're taking notes. I want to read that one more time because it's a powerful truth. He said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground, night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain." And then he tells us the process. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it. It's a harvesting implement, a tool. Puts the sickle to it to harvest because the harvest has come. So just a couple of quick thoughts, like the other seed parables that we have dealt with. Jesus is telling us how the kingdom of God works. He's telling us how the process plays out. It's not just the kingdom of God, but it's us too, because we can narrow that down. We can bring that focus into our everyday lives because you and I are a part of the kingdom of God. So it's not just how the big picture operates, but it's how my life operates and how my family operates. It's how I grow. It's how God works. And we can also see that this seed's parable is about growth, because God wants us to grow, and you and I partner with him in the process. He said the seed sprouts and grows. You need to know today that life is not static. Life is not stuck. You may feel stuck today. You may feel like, you know, my life is not really moving. I just wear the same clothes every day. I go to the same job every day. I just eat the same food every day. I was listening to a great pastor and listening to the podcast the other day on leadership, and he was talking about some of his personal discipline and how he chooses a menu on you know, whatever day, and that's what he eats every single day for the next 6 months. I turn the podcast off because that man cannot help me. He's lost me. I don't. Sometimes, you know, "Hey, can I grab lunch with you next week?" "Sure, let's grab lunch." "All right, Tuesday. Where do you want to meet?" "I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to want to eat next Tuesday. I got to wake up Tuesday and see what I feel like eating. I'm going to see what I'm in the mood for. I don't know." You can see I'm a great success at this. I'm a success at lunch, but I can't imagine that kind of, "This is what I'm going to eat for the next..." You feel like, man, life is stuck. I'm just doing the same thing every day, and I'm living this discipline, and nothing is happening. But you got to know today that growth is not mechanical. It's not robotic. Something to be said for spiritually organic, not artificial growth. I'm not talking about lab-grown faith. I'm not talking about incubator faith. We've got some seeds that are planted out in the lobby. You can check those out and see what their progress is and see what's happening. They've been in that little dirt now for a few weeks, and PK has some sort of artificial light on them. It looks like a reading lamp, but it's supposed to have, I don't know, I think that lamp is talking to our seeds, and I don't know what all is happening, but it's supposed to be some kind of special light, some kind of special light. I'm not sure about all of that, but I'm not sure about it because it's not natural. It's not the real thing. It's some sort of lab grown. And I think about my faith is not happening in this incubator. You know, it's not mechanical, but there is this spiritually organic thing. I'm living life. I'm coming to church. I'm rubbing shoulders. I'm down in the altar for a ministry moment. I'm singing this song. Somebody come and clap me on the shoulder and said, hey, I believe in you. And I got strength from that. What is happening? My life is growing. The soil is being turned over. The seed is planted and it is taking root, because here's the thing with this lab grown food, it does not have the same nutrients. And if my life becomes mechanical, if my faith becomes this lab grown faith, it's not going to have the same power. That's why Andretta today sharing our ministry moment is powerful, talking to us about Romans and Paul and the struggle and the suffering and neither height nor depth, any of those things. What's happening? My life is not mechanical. It's not plug and play. It's not just the ability to hold this button down and this button down and just doing this reset. No, there is this organic part. And I'm living life, and there's good days and not as good days. There are highs and lows and challenges, and my faith is not lab grown, because if it's lab grown, there is no sustainability. That's important for us to know. And he said in verse 27, night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. I am so glad that's in there, because I do not know how. I don't know how this works. All I know is that when I am faithful and when I am committed and when I am putting God first in my life, I just keep seeing things grow and things become and nothing turn into something. And a little bit turn into a little bit more. And what was not all of a sudden is. Is anybody else thankful that God just keeps growing and moving in your life? And it's line upon line, and it's here a little and there a little. And before you know it, there is a beautiful mosaic of a tapestry of how incredible God has been in our lives. Whether he sleeps or gets up, the process is happening. The process is happening. God is working even when I don't realize he's working. God is moving even when I do not see him moving. God is growing things in my life even when I think everything has stalled out and nothing is moving and nothing is happening. In other words, I sow, I do the right things, I plant, I water, and the result is growth. I don't know exactly how that, I know what they've told me, how they tell me that process works, but I cannot see down. We got glass jars out there. I keep referring to this visual out there, and I want you to see it, but it's glass jars, and so you can crane your neck and look down in, but all encapsulated in that pile of dirt, something is happening even when I can't see what is happening. It's a God thing. I find the seed I want to plant. I find the area of life that I want God to work in, that I know I need God to work in, and I start planting seed there. I make sure the soil is right, and then God does what God does best. He blesses it. And in time, there is going to be a harvest. in time, something is going to happen. It may not be sudden. It may not be dramatic. We like sudden. We like dramatic. There may be days that we go out to look at the field and we know this is where I sowed seed. This is where I planted seed. I can see where the dirt has been turned over. I can see where the soil is a little darker, where I've been watering that exact spot. But it looks exactly the same as it looked yesterday. It looks exactly the same as it looked 4 days ago. And that frustrates us because we start living with unmet expectations. How many in this room have made decisions because of unmet expectations? Well, nothing is happening, so I'm done with this. They're not changing, so I'm done with them. This isn't working, so I'm out of here. Unmet expectations. When the reality is we just haven't given the process enough time. Lord, I feel like I'm talking to somebody in this room today. See, we've come to expect big and fast, like I taught last week, when God likes to work slow and small. Steady will win the spiritual race. Somebody needs to know that today. Because you're 6 weeks into or 8 weeks into 2025, and we declared, hey, 2024 is gone. 2025 is your year. All right, I'm 8 weeks in. I'm 7 weeks in, whatever the exact timing is. And I'm not seeing it happen. Have you planted seed? Have you watered seed? Have you worked the soil? Then just stay patient and stay faithful and keep doing right things. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Because a man sows and he also reaps. So you go talk to that planted place every day. Walk by, all right, I not yet. Okay, I'm watching, I'm waiting. Today may be the day. This may be the week, this may be the month. Oh, it's not gonna be February. All right, March, I'll be right here in March looking for something to happen. I'll be expecting something to happen. I'll be looking for breakthrough in my life. I'm not gonna go dig my hand down into that planted place and just pull it all up. Whatever is happening, whatever's going on beneath the surface. No, I'm gonna ruin the process. I'm gonna thwart the process. And guess what? I'm gonna have to start over again. How many times have we started over in our lives? Maybe this is the season that we don't start over. We don't pull up what we've already planted and ruin midway through the. What if we just stay patient? What if we just keep watering this thing with word? What if we just keep praise on it and we just keep washing it in worship and we just keep speaking life over it and just say, Lord, I've finally reached a point of patience that I'm not going to ruin my harvest with impatience and pull it up too fast. I'm just going to rest in your presence and allow this process to play out. Does anybody want to make that commitment in 2025? Because I promise you, if we will be patient, God is going to get the glory. It's a law. It's a law. It happens in phases. It happens during seasons and in stages. He said it's the blade first and then the ear and then the grain and the grain in the ear, and then when the grain is ripe, there's the harvest, stages and seasons. And if we don't understand that, if we don't come to terms with that, and I'm belaboring this point just a little because somebody needs to come to terms with that. Someone who has been spiritually impatient And I'm empathetic because maybe you have been praying a long time, and I've got things that I've been waiting to see for a long time and expecting for a long time. And I understand, just like you do, the frustration of why am I even praying about this? Why am I even putting any spiritual energy toward this? Because it is not happening. Nothing is moving. And I understand the sentiment. I understand the feeling. But am I bettered by the alternative? Am I bettered if I give up? Am I bettered if I just pull that out of the ground and walk away from it? No. My life is still being enriched by the process. I'm still bettered by the process of watering that thing and tending that soil and just keeping an eye on it, because it's the blade first and then the ear and then the grain in the ear, and then when the grain is ripe, there is a harvest. It stages and seasons. And if we miss that, then we're going to be frustrated trying to force the harvest. If I had them bring me one of those jars today and dug my finger down into that jar looking for what's become of the seed, digging, pulling dirt out, never going to be able to put that back together. In fact, I'm going to break the root that has already started going down, because the harvest in your life, it goes down, it goes deep before it goes high. This thing works on the inside before we ever see evidence on the outside. When we finally get to see evidence in your life, oh, thank God. But listen, this evidence is just announcing a system of roots that have already been working down on the inside of me. You see a better attitude, but on the inside, it is a whole new man. You see less of a temper, but on the inside is a man who has been dug around, and the rocks have been pulled out of me, and the roots are growing now free and strong and intertwining with one another, that this is not going to be pulled up by any old circumstance that crops up in my life, or any old weed that shows up in my life, or any struggle that shows up in my life. Why? Because there are roots that have dug down deep. Because God is growing us so that when we are ready, when we reach a place of maturity, when we reach a place that we can handle all that He is doing in our lives, then there is harvest. Is the word helping you today? 1 Corinthians 3, 6 and 7. I love these verses. He said, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything. Only God makes things grow. Oh yeah, he's talking about who wants the credit and who gets the credit and who thinks they deserve the credit. He said, no, God does this. When we do what we're supposed to do, the planting and the watering, and we're doing the cultivating, it's God who makes things grow. So if we get practical to see how seeds expands beyond the kingdom and into our everyday lives, because the law of the harvest, it also relates to everyday things. If we want growth in our career, if we want growth in our finances, I mean, all growth is spiritual growth. If it betters us, it's God getting the glory for it. But it transfers, it translates, it digs down into those other things. And if we want better career, and we want better finance, and we want better marriage, and we want better, there's a seed for that. You got to sow right seeds, because if you don't like what you're reaping in those areas right now, then I have an opportunity today to sow differently. So let me give you just a couple of couple of points today. This is from Department Obvious, but a seed not sown will not grow. A seed not sown will not grow. I said it in week one, but I'll remind you, I can go to any patch and part of dirt on this property or my home property. I can walk out there and every place the sole of my feet shall trod. I can speak and command and preach to the dirt. Dirt, produce apples. No apple coming. You know why? Because I've not planted an apple seed. A seed not sown will not grow. And that's tough. That's tough to hear, because if we're not sowing anything, if we're not planting anything, if we're not giving anything, we cannot expect a harvest. So we got to plant something. We have to sow something. A seed not sown will not grow. We know this. This makes sense. And still, we are not following the directions. The directions say we reap what we sow. It's law. Once we plant the seeds, they're going to do what they do. They will get to work. And what we sow, good or bad, will sprout. Because the same way the law works for the good and the positive in our lives, the law also works for the negative. If we sow negative, if we sow unkindness, guess what? Those are seeds. And you can't be deceived, and God is not mocked. What a man sows, he's going to reap. That makes me want to get way more intentional about what I am sowing, to make sure I'm not sowing unkindness, to make sure I'm not sowing negativity. Let's look again at this, the law of the harvest. I shared this with you last Sunday in the message. You can always get caught up on YouTube if you feel like there's any gaps that you want to go back and listen to. The law of the harvest says, first of all, you reap what you sow. You reap more than you sow, and you reap long after you sow. The process of the law looks a little bit different. That's what I'm focusing on today, the process of the law of the harvest. The first process in the law of the harvest is that you reap what you sow. This is universal. You reap what you sow. And then, number two, you reap later than you sow. Again, the law says you reap more than you sow, yes. But the process says you reap later than you sow. And then the third step in that process is that you reap more than you sow. So as I said, number one is universal. You're going to reap what you sow, but reaping later, you get into the second part of that process, you reap later than you sow, and sometimes much later, that fights against big and fast. Fights against our expectations of, I went to church. I mean, why is it not happening yet? You're going to reap later than you sow. This means we have to be willing to work the way God works, as if we have a choice. We have no choice in that. We got to work with God's law and with God's process. And it's His law in spite of our protest. And you can check Bible history going all the way back to Adam and Eve. It is a long list of people who have tried to get God to do it their way. They were not successful. What makes you and I think that we are going to be successful getting God to do it our way? Should I open the altars now or We're not going to change God's mind, and we're not going to change God's law. It's forever settled. It's his book. It's his truth. And if Adam, his firstborn, couldn't change his mind, and if Moses, the greatest leader in the Bible, could not change his mind, and if all of these people that he left, David, that incredible worshiper, if David could not change his mind, Daryl is not going to change his mind. So I'm going to have to get in line with the process. I'm going to have to follow the process and do it God's way. Lord, I feel like I need to pause my preaching and just repent for trying to do it my way. Like, for real. Y'all hold on a minute. Lord, I am sorry. I am sorry for always getting in your way, for fighting you. Your word says you will not withhold any good gift from me. But Lord, I keep trying to take this out of your hand and jerk it out of your hand and force you to comply to my will and my way. And I keep hitting brick walls. Forgive me. I'm going to walk and work within your process. And I love Hebrews 6. Hebrews 6. Take time to read it this week in your devotion. It's honestly one of the most powerful chapters in the Bible. But Hebrews 6, 11 and 12, the writer said, we want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end. In other words, when you get tempted to go put your finger, your hand in that soil where that seed is buried, and you just, man, I'm just going to try to hurry the process. I'm going to see if I can reach in there and find some sprout and pull it out faster. No. Show the same diligence to the very end, so that what you hope for may be fully realized. We don't want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. He's saying, I want you to imitate. You remember some of those people that the book, it's the heroes of faith. Get over into Hebrews 11. Those people that we look up to, those people we say, man, look at their lives. Oh, if I could just have that kind of faith. He said, imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Diligent to the end, so that I can fully realize the faith and the hope. I can't short circuit the process. I can't get around what is necessary in my life. So that brings Galatians back into view. Galatians 6 and 9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, someone say the proper time, say if it's not happening yet, it's because it's not time. At the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Preaching to people this Sunday that feel like giving up, don't give up. People that feel like throwing in a towel, dropping your gloves and your sickle and your tools, don't give up. If you'll hold on, if you'll just keep watering, if you'll just stay faithful to the house of the Lord, if you'll just keep doing the right things, God is going to get the glory in your life. Be not deceived. God cannot be mocked. What a man sows, that he is going to reap. the truth. Just think of how patient God is with us. He waters, he nurtures, he sends his word. He's kind, he's gentle. The least we could do is just remain. It's just hold on. It's just to wait in his presence. I feel like we need to take time to thank him right now. Anybody feel like he deserves? Thank you, Lord. So that leads us to number three, and the third law of the process is that you reap more than you sow. And again, as I said a moment ago, it's true in both directions. If you sow good, you're going to reap much more. If you sow bad, the same. And some people are shocked by that because you get surprised later in life. Why are these things happening? It's because of seeds that were sown are coming up. Again, makes me want to repent. Lord, break every soul tie. I repent for seeds I sowed, seeds of unkindness. I just thought I needed to draw a line in the sand, and maybe I did, but I didn't do it the right way. It's too harsh, too strong, too impatient. Lord, forgive me. What are you doing, Pastor Darrell? I'm doing my best to dig up every wrong seed so that it doesn't have the chance of producing a harvest of negativity in my life. Lord, separate us from that seed. Every seed we planted, knowingly or unknowingly, sins of commission and omission. When we knew what we were doing was wrong, and when we didn't even realize what we were doing, separate us, Lord, from those consequences. Deliver us from our expected end. Forgive us. Save us from ourselves. I know better, so I'm doing better. And I don't want to bring confusion, but I feel like I want to add a fourth law today as we close. Because it's possible you can reap where you did not sow. Sometimes you can share in a harvest that someone else planted. Some of you are here today because of prayers your parents prayed. Here's how Jesus framed that, John 4, 37 and 38. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. others have done the hard work and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. Some of you are just getting here, and this church has been here for like 70 years. Some of you are going to get it on the end of paying off this building. When somebody was here 30 years ago and 40 years ago, making peanut brittle and doing whatever they could. He said, I'm going to send you to reap what you have not worked for. Others did the hard work, but you're going to reap the benefits of their labor. Here's the danger. The danger is that too many are depending on that harvest and not the one they've planted themselves. Too many are depending on what mama prayed, and they're not praying for themselves. So in light of all we've heard, and I feel the Lord in this room, here's the question. Why do people who know, and this may be somebody sitting in this room, I know it is. Why do people who know not sow? Why would one who hears these principles not sow? Why keep doing what you've always done and ignore the law of the harvest? Are we just hoping for the best? Are we just hoping that somewhere along the way this book is going to change? I think there's a couple of reasons. I think it's contrary to our human nature. We are not generous by nature. You don't have to teach a child when they just start talking. You don't have to teach them to be selfish. They got it innate. Mine. That was some of Jude's first words, because he was so tired of his sister taking everything out of his hand. You don't have to teach a child. You have to teach them to share, because it's contrary to our human nature. And yet every principle in the Bible grates against our selfishness. Every principle in the Bible. It's constantly just nagging at, grating at the selfishness that comes natural to us. It also grates on our self-preservation. I can't give that. I need that. Trust God? I trust me. Stop. Think about it for just a moment. How good have you done without God? How good are you doing without God's principles in your life? That question makes me want to run to an altar, literally. Can't do this without you, God. What a fool I am to think I'm smarter than you, or that I can con your word, or that I can somehow skirt your law. What do you want to reap? If God began with the end in mind, he'll permit you to do the same. What do you want to reap? You want to reap a good marriage? You want to reap a blessed financial life? You want to reap a booming business? You want to reap a whole family? You want to reap kids that love God? Let's back it up. What am I willing to sow to see any one of those things come to pass? Be not deceived. God cannot be mocked. What a man sows, that he will. You mean, Pastor Darrell, I'm not too old to start again? You're not too old. You mean my life is not too far gone? No. No one is too far gone. Are you saying there's still time for me? Are you breathing? Father, I pray today for all of us. I pray because you've been digging around in the soil of our hearts for a few weeks now. Somewhere along the way, this process became a process. And I start seeing my life, and I start looking and evaluating. And I'm intentional, getting intentional about what I want to see happen. There's people in this room today making decisions and people making choices, and somebody's making a decision right now to be baptized today. And if that's you, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, you can get up right now. Our team wants to meet you in this lobby all the way to my right, your left. Someone else, Lord, is at the beginning stage. They got to start with yes. They got to start with that repentance. Here I am, Lord. It's my heart. It's laid bare. I ask you to clean it, wash it, restore it. Let there be renewal in my life. Let there be grace and healing. And I repent of my sin today, Lord. I repent of every choice that dishonored you. Today, Lord, I thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name.